Lord, as a church, we believe there is none like you. You are the Holy One, our Redeemer, our Sustainer, God, our Perfecter of salvation, who chose us before the foundations of the world. Lord, we pray that you would you'd be honored with what we give you. And as we sing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, that you would know that from our hearts we long to worship you more. Now, Father, we enter into your word and we realize it's your word, and we feel somewhat not ready for this, but we realize that you, through your Spirit, can help us. And so, Lord, we pray in the matchless name of Jesus that you would be pleased in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to have you here at church. Amen. And there's lots of things you can do on a Sunday, but this is probably the best thing that you can, amen, that you can be doing on a Sunday. Okay, we need her later, remember that. All right, give us a second here to get someone asked me if we record our messages because they were going to be away for a couple weeks. And yes, that's the answer to that question. Our podcast, we usually put it up on Monday or Tuesday, so if you miss it, you can catch it. I'll try to be a little quicker now that we have a college Bible study that meets on Mondays. And so we'll try and have it up there quicker in case you missed the message. You can always get it on our, just follow the link on our Facebook page. Or go to iTunes and just make it part of your daily routine. All right, a couple things that weren't mentioned that I wanted to mention myself. Here's the first slide. Men, coming up next Saturday, we're going to be having a prayer time at Ladder's Coffee House. It's at 9 o'clock, and so hopefully you can be there. We'd love to have you there, men, to be praying. We had a great time last time. And some of the stuff that we did, there's some information I want to pass along as we continue to pray on that. So we hope to see you all there, 9 o'clock Saturday the 30th. Next Sunday the 31st, I didn't realize that everyone is graduating today. I mean, everyone. Zach's graduating today now? No. Next week. Okay, boom. All right. One I was right on. Tia, she's here, longtime friend of mine, and she graduated from college, praise the Lord for that, with a bachelor's in awesomeness. We appreciate that. Not too many people get that, girl, but you got it. But I know that we have several seniors that are going to be graduating today, all at 3 o'clock, at all three high schools in our county, so don't think you can go to another one in time. You're not going to be able to make it. So we look forward to celebrating them next week, so if you're a senior or your parents of a senior, get your senior here so we can celebrate with them. We'll have a little thing up front and just recognize their hard work of 12 years of school. Amen, parents? I have got a couple more years yet, and I'm not sure how that's going to feel, but it'll be weird for sure. Tracy Fox will fill me all in on next year when her last son graduates. But I was talking with somebody this week. We have a lot of seniors graduating this year and next year. And we've got a little bit of a gap, and then we got to get those kids in the nursery up there. So just bodes well that we have a great youth program working. Youth, make sure you pay attention to the bulletin. There's something going on for you tomorrow. And see Steph and Jer, if you would. I was going to have a ceremony today for someone who was going to become a United States citizen, but she balked. And we'll do it later. See staff if you need details. We'll leave it at that. Let's just say citizenship is now won by losing a croquet match. Okay, laughter aside. Serious subject today. We're in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. Now, as you take your Bibles and turn there, just want to kind of let you know, this is the final section of what we are calling Because Family Matters. We have a picture up there for you on this, and you'll see it in most of our stuff. Family matters, right? Amen? Where we've been is His very own. That's our kind of our overriding umbrella theme. We are His very own. And because of that, we looked at our role in salvation, Christ's role in salvation, Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, the church as it's been founded. We broke into a big section over the last couple of weeks on how we should walk, starting with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, where it says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And we looked at walking in holiness. We looked at walking in unity. We looked at walking in the gifts that God has given you. We looked at walking in love. And then the last 2 weeks, we spent a lot of time about talking about walking in purity. So this is the last section, because family matters. Now, last year, I'd say somewhere right around this time, our sending base pastor, Jamie Mitchell, who's from Harvest in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, he said, Nate, I'm coming out to your area, and I want to see your area, and I want to get to know your people. And we sat down in what restaurant would you take someone in our area to if you wanted to show them our area? Theo's. Thank you. Right, got it right on. And so we sat down there for less than an hour, and he's like, he looked at me and he said, Nate, let me tell you about your area. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. Is he going to be able to hit it on the head? I don't know. And he said, you are a family-first area. How did he get that? And we began to talk, and really how this plays out for us in our area is this way. Family, don't mess with it. Right? Top of the list. And then school association is second. Family, school association, where you go to school. Did you go to Trail? Did you go to Cambridge? Did you go to the Brook? Where'd you go? Okay? And then it's like sometimes you cross lines and a colt will marry a cat, or a warrior will marry any one of those two. But it's rare. It's rare. But it does happen. And then the last on the list, so we got family, don't mess with it. School, don't mess with it, and then grandma's church. Am I right? Where do you go to church? I go to where my mom goes to church. Where's that? Where my grandma went to church? Where's that? Well, I think it's that United Methodist Church down the road. They don't know, but don't mess with grandma's church. And someone says, well, our church is dying. We're going to sell the building when people come out in droves. And that's our area. So family matters. Family matters, but do we know how to get the most out of family time? Do our families coexist for the kids? You know, we're just going to stay together until the kids are all gone. Or do we just thrive? Do our kids, their friends, and our loved ones see harmony? Or do they see dysfunction? And that's really what we're going to try and get at in this whole section here of Family Matters. Now, did some research this week from the U.S. Department, State Department, where are families at today? A paper written by one of their psychologists there said this, that divorce rates are likely to remain high. And in many cases, marital breakdown causes serious problems for both adults and kids. No particular family form guarantees success. I would disagree with that. Would you disagree with that? Okay. No particular family form guarantees success, and no particular form is doomed to fail. How a family functions on the inside, I highlighted this, how the family functions on the inside is more important than how it looks from the outside. I would agree greatly with that. Divorce rates amongst husbands and wives, have topped 60%. And now we add to all of that the non-typical marriage between gays and lesbians and couples, and you know that divorce rate is going to skyrocket. What we see the family be is what we see from TV. Now listen, I mean, do you guys remember back the Huxtables? It was rarely that you had a family that was dysfunctional. I mean, you had the Bunkers, but now it's The Simpsons, Family Guy, The Modern Family. There was a show that came out not too long ago. I'm not sure if it's been cut or not, but it was like a girl who was pregnant, and she was a lesbian, but she was having another guy's baby who just got married to somebody, and this was their new family union. That is not a family. That is a dysfunction. Then we have what the media tells us we should be. distorted and left of center? Is that what a family is? Or is it what's outlined in the workbook that we have for life? Raise up your workbook that you have for life. All right? This is a great, awesome, awesomely amazing book. We should be writing in it. We should be underlining in it because God gave it to us to be our workbook for life. Here at Harvest, we go with choice three, our workbook for life. In the beginning of the book, in the book of beginnings, Genesis, we see the foundation for family. Genesis 2:24, he set the designer's design. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. They were to be fruitful and multiply because they were made in the image of God. And everywhere that they multiplied, images of God would be everywhere. And the world would see the glory of God. They were to reflect the Trinity. They were to reflect the image of God. It was, of course, always be, in God's eyes, one man. Listen, one woman for a lifetime. Of course, people have challenged that notion. In 1978, 28% said that marriage in and of itself was obsolete. 28% of Americans in 1978 said that. In 2010, that number had risen to 40%. So it's important that we begin to teach what is family and why does it matter. Now, Paul began to teach on this long ago. Society has been on a rampage to destroy any type of the role or functionality that might show any type of distinction between male and female. Okay? Anybody believe that men and women are different? Raise your hand. All right. We are different. We are different, right? Praise the Lord. The Marvels movies, the director of that movie has been on a rampage to promote sameness in superheroes, inequality in all aspects of life, unisex, gender neutral, homosexual, transgender, radical racist, feminist. Public pressure have all caused this phenomenal thing that God has created to explode into something weird and not looking like anything normal that we have seen in our lifetime. A family unit is made to be something dirty or obsolete. Now, even as I wrote this, I got a little bit concerned because, what if I step on somebody's toes? Because that's how they feel. Well, I soon got over that. My role is not to cower behind man's opinion. I'll say that again, and I really think as a church we ought to just amen that. Not because I wrote it, but it's the truth. Our role as pastors is not to cower behind man's opinion. But it's to preach the word of God without apology. That's our role, right? May it ever be said from this pulpit, from this place, that God's word was taught. Amen? That's what we believe. Pillar number one, preach the authority of God's word without apology. And now I say this here because we love families at Harvest. You see me, I just coo over every little kid that walks in here. Just love it. I just love it when they... Caleb and Tori aren't here this weekend. She's taking her sister to fly to London. But, they were like, yeah, we're not going to have any kids. And I just laughed. I think I've told you this story, but I'm telling it again. And I'm like, I'm just going to laugh whenever you tell me you're pregnant. And about 3 months later, she's like, should we tell them? And I just started laughing. She goes, don't be rude. I'm like, you're pregnant, aren't you? And she's like, yeah. You know, we love families here at Harvest. But we must never feel like we arrived when it comes to this is how families should be. We must always follow what the book says. I love what Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's, said. When you're green, you're growing. When you're red, you've already begun to rot. Think of a tomato. When it's green, it's still growing. But when it becomes red, it doesn't take long, right? Sit it on your windowsill. Flies will show up in our house the next day. Little gnats. 3 days later, throw it away. So never be that red, ready to rot type of person. Have a better understanding what the family unit is supposed to look like. And so let's get into the text. Ephesians chapter 5, 22 through 24 Does anybody need a Bible? Our ushers have Bibles ready. If you need one, just raise your hands up right now. They'll make sure you get one. Anyone? All right. Thank you. Let's read this. We're going to pray, and then we're going to get into the rolls. Let's start with verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, the word submit is not actually in verse 22, but it's been placed in there because it's understood. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, wives to your own husbands, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Father, we come before you, and you know how I have wrestled with this text this week, and mainly my insecurity and my longing to please people rather than preach the word. God, I pray that you give me boldness. I have been married to the most awesome woman for almost 26 years now, and yet, Father, you know that this is something that is difficult to breach without sounding chauvinistic, without sounding, it's got to be my way. And so, God, I pray that the heart, my heart for families and tenderness, and that this would be received as your word and not an edict from my lips, and that we would radically change our families here at Harvest to be ones that follow your word, that are growing in love and unity for one another. We give you praise for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so here we go. I've been blessed this week as I've been studying to be reminded of our small group time that we spent on this subject of marriage. And we, in fact, the latter part of this message, I used some of the material from this booklet that I brought with me today called Marriage. And if any of you want to use that in your home, you can use my copy. I would love to pass it on to you. So with that being said, let's get into the text. Because family matters, what is my biblical role? Now, this week, we're going to look at what the wife's role is. And next week, we're going to look at what the husband's role is. All right? So, guys, you can't miss next week, and you can't elbow this week. Girls, you got to just sit there and catch it this week, and no elbow next week. All right? Deal? Mickey, deal? Okay, I saw that. All right. So, verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. What is my biblical role as a wife? The key word in this text is what? Submit. Say it with a smile. You should have seen her face. She's like, submit. This brought up a question, though. Because some people are like, whoa, wait a minute. I'm not sure I like that word. Right. Why don't we like it? And I've been asking some people, why? Overwhelmingly, the people, I said, be part of my message this week, help me in this. Overwhelmingly, the answer is pride. I just don't. We're Americans, somebody said, and I really like that because that's true. As Americans, we don't like to submit to anybody. We challenge authority all the time. And if we don't like you, we're going to vote you out the next time. So it's something that's really, as a citizen of the United States, it's not something we really like. Or Canada. I won, so I can continue to tell my jokes. Another reason, though, is I think in some cases there's lack of knowledge. I think because we don't teach on it, and because really what I've been wrestling this week is the fear of man, there's a lack of knowledge. You don't want every wife in here to hate you because you're preaching on this text. So pastors choose not to preach on it. But I think the third and final one that I came up with is probably the most damaging, and that is because people have lived in marriages or watched marriages of their mothers and their grandmothers where that word is used as a weapon. And that's not what we're about here at Harvest. So I thought, listen, we're going to answer all these questions. We're going to make sure that you're informed. We're going to make sure that you understand that this is not to be used as a weapon, men. And we're going to make sure that as Americans we understand that there's parts of the Bible that even tell us to submit, men. It's a word that you have to get used to. So what does it mean? What is the definition? Well, I put a couple things up here on the screen for you. It's the Greek word hupotasso, which is, in essence, a willingness to submit to one another. What word is missing there? Obedience, right? Because we often use submit as obey. Now, that comes up when we get to 2 weeks from now. Children, you're not allowed to miss that, teenagers. That word comes up a lot in that text. But in this text, it's really submitting to oneself. Break the word down. Tasso means to line up under. Let's go to that next picture, Ben. And hupo means under. So they put the word together under authority or under a line, like in these cases, a Roman soldier's cohort that would be walking through the field of battle. How many men have been in the military? We celebrate that tomorrow. Okay, so a few of you. One of the first things they taught us to do, Sean, was to line up in order. And we had, I don't know if this was Navy, but we had to kind of go like this and put our shoulder off like that, and then we had to go this way, kind of get ourselves together. You had to be in that straight line to walk to chow, right? And I never understood that, but I hupotassoed. I submitted myself to my company commander. Was I smarter than him? Possibly. Was I more talented than him? Possibly. Was I taller than him? For sure. They both were from the Philippines, and I was taller. But my role in this, right arm up, distance, short, boom, let's march. And I allowed them to lead. Now, if I didn't, it would be a cluster, and we never would have got anything done, and I still would be in boot camp. But I wanted to get somewhere. So, go back to that slide, Ben. I was willingly submitting myself to someone over myself, right? It's not intended to make you obey. Obedience is a byproduct of submission. McDonald said this. It's like a four-way stop sign. I think I have a picture of that, right? How many have ever come to something like this? Four-way stop. You go to our house, you can't miss the four-way stop. In either direction, there's a four-way stop. What happens at a four-way stop? Everybody stops, but then there's that moment, right? If you have four cars at a four-way stop, unless you're in Louisiana, if you have... Someone's got to decide, do I go or do I wait? And how many have said, I'm just going to wait? Right. No, you don't count. Okay. You don't drive. How many just go? Just, all right. Well, see, you're going to struggle with submission then. But in reality, though, when we get into the home, if we're both holding up stop signs trying to figure out who's going first, we got a problem, right? So really, the better sign is this sign. Yield. So someone has to yield. The problem with stop signs is that we're always wondering, is it my turn? And that's not what this passage is saying. It's saying yield. Remember, it's not my word. It's God's word. So if your marriage is about to have an accident and things are going to crash, yield. Yield. Yield to the point of conflict so that conflict doesn't destroy your marriage. Can I say that again? Yield to the point of conflict so that conflict doesn't destroy your marriage. I like what... Wayne Grudem said on this subject, he said, submission refers to a wife's divine calling to honor and affirm her husband and her husband's leadership and help carry it through according to her gifts. This, listen, this is not an absolute surrender of her will. Rather, we speak of her disposition to yield to her husband's guidance and her inclination to follow his leadership. Christ is the absolute authority, not the husband. Christ is the absolute authority. She submits to her husband out of reverence, keyword here, for Christ. The supreme authority of Christ qualifies her, the authority of her husband. So, got a little illustration we're going to do now. I've asked a couple to come up here, a couple that I love dearly, and I know can handle it. Come on, come on. This is Justin and Ashley. You guys know Justin and Ashley? And often, in most cases, the men are the aggressor and the women are the ones who are the responders, okay? So just like in marriage, here, you're going to get on this side, right? There we go, boom, that's you. I can tighten that up a little bit. As the aggressor, he went after the one that was going to one day respond and then ask, and she responded by saying, yes. And they went and they began to do life together, and it was a lot easy when the rope was close, right? And they could go everywhere together, and they might even be holding, no. See, this is how, okay, yeah, see, this is how we held hands at Baptist Bible College, by the way. Get yourself a stick or a rope, and then you can maybe feel the love through the rope. Anyways, so they're just, everything's going fine until that one moment where she wants to go that way, and he wants to go that way. And as they go, they find that they are at an impasse. And you know what happens in this moment, right? Because she's like got her will, and he's like got his will, but he's a little bit stronger, so this could really get out of hand. Now, here's what I'm saying right here in this moment. Scripturally, when your way is different than your way, scripturally, yield. When you're at the point of conflict, yield, ladies, to avoid the conflict. You see? It's not easy, right? You guys can take the ropes off if you want. If you can leave them on if you want. I don't really care. But yield so that you don't destroy the marriage. Now, that's difficult. You're saying that as a man, and you don't understand. You're right. But I'm not saying it that men are to be like slaves, masters, and you're the slave. It's not a dictatorship. Men, you should make the yielding process easy for them. How did Christ make the yielding process easy for us? Love. He loved us. He paid the price of our sin for us, and willingly we yield ourselves to him. Man, did you catch that? You got a whole week coming to this next week. Make the yielding process easy. And they'll willingly yield. I did some research this week about lives of wives in the Old Testament and New Testament times. And I can understand why this is a process that Paul writes about. In Old Testament and New Testament Israel, wives were little better than servants. Jewish men would literally pray, and I better not catch any of you men doing this. Jewish men would literally pray, Lord, thank you that I am not a Gentile, a slave, or a wife. In Greek culture, it's even worse. The role of the woman was to be the legitimate child bearer for the family, keep the family line going, and watch the house. One Greek scholar said that men would have pleasure with mistresses, daily sexual contact with concubines, and the wife's role was to take care of the house and to bear children. Now, if you're in that kind of marriage, I mean, there's rare reason for divorce in the Greek culture. It rarely happened. But who would want to be a wife in that situation? Men found pleasure with mistresses and concubines, and women found pleasure with slaves and prostitutes, male or female. It's not a pretty picture. But the Greek culture was not as bad as the Roman culture that followed them, where wives could be easily thrown out and divorced. It was a rampant problem throughout all of Roman culture. Women didn't then want to have children with their husbands because it would harm their bodies, and they were going to be getting married again. And in fact, some places, women tried to become like men, taking up wrestling and fighting in the Colosseums. And this was not what God intended. But it does sound a lot familiar, like our culture. All of this to say this about submitting. All of us, look up here, all of us submit in some way. Hebrews says we're to submit to the government. Romans says we're to submit to the government. That's all of us, not just the ladies, okay, guys? This is for us. This passage in Ephesians 5 says we're supposed to submit to one another first. Wives to husbands in Philippians 4, Ephesians 5, and 1 Peter 3. So what's the direction that this one is intended? All right, well, we see it there in the text. Wives, submit to your own what? Husband. All right. If you're dating a girl, guys, this is not a word for you. If you're engaged, this is not a word for you. I've seen that. I've seen men in Bible college use this incorrectly and ruin their relationships. This is to your own husband. How does that work? Well, here at Harvest, we believe the husband is over the wife. The elder of the church is over the husband. But hear me on this, and I don't think this is a problem here, and I want you looking around going, who's doing that here? Because I don't really believe it's a problem here, but I've been in churches where some men think that they are to have all women submit because they're a man. That is not what the text is saying, and that is not biblical. What I'm saying here, at Harvest, the elder's authority extends to the husband. The wife is to submit to the husband. Just because Mickey's in front of me, if Mickey's got an issue and we bring her before the board, we're bringing Rick with her. Because if she can't answer to her own husband, show me how she's going to respond. It's the big goose egg, right? She can't respond to her own husband's leadership. She's not going to respond to the church's leadership. If it's not working at home, there's zero chance that it's going to work with elders. So the intent of this text is, wives, because families matter, submit to your own husband. Object intended. Wives, submit to your own husband. Now that's possession there. To your own, in the Greek, it's possession. Okay, there's connection there. To your own, it's equally married. This is my guy. Wives, submit to your husband. The object is intended here is, here it is, as to the Lord. As to the Lord. See it there in the text? Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. I know that everyone has not married. How many are married here? Married folks, put your hands up. All right. How many have a perfect husband? You can put your hand down, dear. I know you want me to look good in front of the church, but we're all flawed, right, men? Right, men? Come, don't leave me hanging up here. Right? Okay. We're all flawed. We're not perfect. We're not wise at times. Ladies, I'm giving you ammunition here. We're unpractical at times. And you may think, listen, this is a real deal. You may think that submitting is giving up. If I submit to that, I'm giving up who I really am. But that's not true. I know what you're saying. But I really began to think of it this way, and others have said this, and I really like it. I'm submitting to God because I can't deal with this, but I know God can. Okay? So when we get into the context of submitting, ladies, it's not that you're submitting. You're submitting to God as to the Lord. Because you know you can't handle this, but God can. I thought about that. I had a little note, and I was thinking this through, and I'm thinking, this sounds familiar in my life. And I remember getting dropped off at college, and my dad didn't help me carry anything in and didn't get out of the car. And when I took the last bag in, shut the door, he said, all right, see ya. I'm like, bye. And I asked him several years later, I said, why did you do that? He said, I didn't want to let you go, but I knew that I had to let you go, and I had to trust you to God and let God figure it out. And God would lead you. And sure enough, he did. But it's similar. You're not losing yourself. You're trusting yourself to a holy God who has placed you in this situation. So the object intended is as to the Lord. I wrote this down. I don't want to get between my husband and how God will deal with him. And I can trust God, and I must yield and trust my husband to him. Wow. I can trust God, right? Well, what's the biblical example? Look at verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as, circle that word as. That word as is very important. It's a connector. It connects husbands and wives with what's going to happen next. How should husbands and wives behave based on this verse? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Who is our ultimate example of this? Who is our ultimate example of submitting? Christ. Got a picture here for you. I thought about two examples. All right, we'll go to Philippians first. Philippians chapter 2. And if you know this, the kenosis passage. Who do not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient even to the point of death. And then I thought about the Last Supper. And before all of it began, Jesus got down with a pail or a bowl and a little towel and their dirty feet and washed their feet. Peter's like, no, you can't do that. And he's like, listen, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part of me. Willingly, Jesus submitted. That's our example. The cross, the humble acts of service towards his disciples. It's safe to say at some point in our lives when we struggle with our marriage and we struggle with life. Let me just ask you this. How many have ever struggled with church? A church that you've had a struggle with a church that you have been in. At some point in your life, you've struggled. I think all of us would say yes to that. But how many would confess that struggle was with the way Jesus Christ was the head? Right. See, we love Jesus Christ for his love. We love his leadership, for his compassion towards us, for his forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ gets an A++, right? Jesus Christ gets an A++, right? So what's that say about Jesus, that he's the head? In Greek here, there's some kind of confusion. There's not a confusion. Some people have said, it doesn't mean head, it just means one of. But in the Greek, it means leader, authority, head. Now, churches that don't glorify God have an issue with Jesus Christ as the head. So they want co-leadership. And usually co-leadership equals man's leadership, and then it goes down really fast, and it never works. I thought about sports analogies where you had co-leadership. You know, this year we're going to do the two quarterback thing. Does that ever work? Football guys, does that ever work? Every other play we're running in a new quarterback and stuff gets off. In hockey, any hockey fans here? In hockey, they try to do it sometimes with goalies. We're like, we're going to platoon goalies back and forth. In business, we've had two CEOs that come together only until one is bought out. Why? Because Bill Gates and Steve Jobs don't work well together, right? Brilliant men, but one of them is getting bought out because there can only be what? One leader, right? One head. And so Jesus' lordship, well, two-headed, I wrote this down. I heard this, it was great. Two-headed leadership is a monster that doesn't work. And just like two-headed leadership in the home is a monster that doesn't work, so two-headed leadership in the church is a monster that doesn't work. So this example here is ladies submit as the church submits to Jesus Christ, our head. Co-headship in the home is a horror movie. God's designed it this way. God made Christ head of the church. God made man head of the family. Husbands, you're to lead your wives not authoritatively, not domineeringly, not disrespectfully, not insensitively. Because if you do that, if you're overbearing, domineering, insensitive, always your way, you're missing the point of what Jesus Christ said as the head of the church and what Jesus Christ did. But again, we'll get to you next week. If you lead like Christ, she, though, will willingly follow your leadership. Did you catch that? Well, how far must I go, Nate? How far? All right, here we go. Going through this again, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. We're doing this because it's directed towards husbands. We're doing it because of the Lord. The example is Christ as the head of the church, as man is the head of the household. Verse 24, how far must I go? Now, as the church submits to Christ, so wives should submit in everything to their husbands. What's that say? What's that word there? Starts with an E? Everything. Everything. Wow. You mean everything, Nate? Well, I've been asking some guys around, and I really don't want to take the Word of God and stretch it, but I think there's some biblical examples of ways that we can stretch the everything. Now, hear me out before you stone me. Okay? I know it's hard to hear, because I know some of you might be struggling with this everything part, but here's what I see in the Scriptures as acceptable or reasonable omissions. The first one is this. Where it causes me to sin. I must submit in everything except for where it causes me to sin. Example from Scripture, Acts chapter 4, disciples being punished, they say, do not preach in the name of Jesus Christ. And what did they say? Whether we believe you or God, you decide whether we should obey you or God. As for us, we choose to obey the Lord. So, where there was a sin issue, they said, hey, listen, we're not submitting to your authority. Now, I like what John Piper said when he said, wives can stand with God and against sin and have a spirit of submission and a disposition to yield. I like what 1 Peter chapter 3 says when it says, wives, by your chaste conduct you win them. In other words, when you know this is sin, don't have an argument about it. But you can calmly speak to them in a manner that they would see that you're not doing this because it's between you and God. And God says this is a sin and I'm not going to let you. You can scream at me, submit all you want, but I'm not going to let you lead me into sin. And I choose to follow God. You don't ever have to raise your voice to do that. And if you do it in a manner that is a spirit of submission and disposition, I believe that you can win in that case. Here's the other one. Where I am in danger physically. No woman should ever live in fear. If you're being physically abused by your husband who's a believer, call our elders. we'll have a come to Jesus meeting. Okay? I remember talking to my friend Brendan Laritz, and his brother-in-law had done some bad things, and when him and his brother found out, they were out the door before Dad could get a hold of them with the bat, and they were getting in the car when Dad stopped, and he said, "We're going to have a come to Jesus meeting. This man's never touching my daughter again." If he's a brother in Christ, we're going to talk about that. If he isn't a believer, call the police and then call us. Clear? Clear? Okay. Anything beyond that, everything means everything. Remember, we need to love them, men, like Christ loves the church. Be ready if you want them to follow in everything, because that's a pretty daunting task now that's placed on your shoulders, men. Okay? All right. Can we admit that it's hard? Look up here. Can we admit that submitting is hard? Yeah. So let's finish with this. Why is it so hard? We got two to go, but Genesis 3:16. Remember Genesis 3? The Adam and Eve had eaten of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They now saw that they were naked and were afraid. They dressed themselves in leaves to cover their nakedness, and God came looking for them, and then the blame game started. "Well, that woman you gave me," man said, and then that woman said, "That serpent." And so God now is in verse 16. He has now heard all the excuses and starts to lay out his judgment. And to the serpent, he says, "You'll crawl around on your belly in the dust of the earth." And he makes a prophetic statement that the birth child, the virgin birth child of the woman, will crush the head of the serpent. Talking about Jesus Christ. And then he turns to the woman and he makes a statement in the middle of this thing where he says, "You will desire, your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And men, we kind of stood up and we're like, "Yeah, they're going to desire us." Not what the word means. We were sitting in a Sunday school class in Maryland, and we had several strong ladies in the class when the pastor began to discuss this. And one of the ladies, she was, her name is Trish Wolf, and she was running for political office, and she's a really strong woman. She heard that, what I'm about to tell you, and she's like, "That explains so much about my life." Because the word desire here is the desire to rule over. But part of the reason this is hard for you is you have this innate desire to rule over your husband, but God has placed him in leadership. Ladies, submission is hard because of the fall. God created two equal beings. Men and women are equal under God in every way. Equal in importance. Equal in standing, equal in significance, equal in privilege, equal in worth. Men and women are equal under God in every way, but the mistake is, look up here, equality is not the same as sameness. Okay? We get that wrong. Equality does not require sameness. We're not the same. Though we are equal. That's the error of the world. That's where they use the word to displace our lives. It's a pressure from the world that makes submission hard. Well, Pastor Nate said we're equal. Yeah, we're equal, but you're not the same. No man in this room can bear a child. Some ladies would like them to, just so they would stop whining. Amen? You guys need to come back up. But there are some things that men do that ladies could never do. God has created them equal, but not the same. And it's unique that we need both to continue God's plan for the life of a family. It's counterculture, what we're talking about here. It's all God, though. And I do believe this, all right, ladies, that you would rather follow God than you would rather follow the world. Am I right? Okay. So, we close with this. Like I said earlier, I can't take credit for any of this. We watched this in our small group. There's this last part, these five things that I'm going to give you, came right off a message in our small group time. I wrote it down. I loved it so much. I knew that we were going to be coming to this. Here it is. Okay? I need more, Nate. I close with this. Why submitting? Why? Give me the 411. Submitting is biblical. Let's start with that. Submitting is biblical. In every New Testament passage that deals with the wife's relationship to her husband, it tells her to submit to him. Ephesians 5, Colossians 3:18, 1 Peter 3:1, and Titus 2:4. This is not an isolated passage, ladies. It's you following the biblical pattern. Okay? It's biblical. We should stop there. But we won't. It's the way God uses wives to change their husbands. It's the way God uses wives to change their husbands. Or, like I said, we did this. This is a fantastic book for married couples. In our group, watch this. But the big takeaway on how to change your husband, get ready, this is going to surprise you, all right, ladies? But we all were just like, whoa, even the guys. Here's the key. Next slide, Ben. Changed women change their husbands. That's biblical. Changed women change their husbands. 1 Peter chapter 3, one of my favorite verses in this regard, that by your chaste conduct you win them. What he means by chaste, by your submitting and your yielding, by that conduct you will win your husband. Changed women change their husbands. Number three, it affirms and edifies your husband and his responsibility under God. It affirms and edifies your submission, your yielding, affirms and edifies your husband and his responsibility under God. More than anything, ladies, men want to know that their wives respect them. Let me say that again. More than anything, men want to know, ladies, look up here, ladies, that their wives respect them. But you say, I don't respect anything about my husband. Well, you better find something, because this thing you're trying to save, if you don't respect them and their responsibilities, then you're going to struggle. You're going to tear down the very thing you're trying to build up. Your submission affirms and edifies your husband and his responsibility under God. Number four, two to go. This is it, number four. Without it, you get between God and your husband. Without it, you get between God and your husband. Now, men, again, this is not a time to be poking. Okay? You're trying to advance God's agenda in your flesh. And that never works. I need some biblical proof on that. James chapter 1 verse 20 says, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So, without it, you get between your husband and God. And I like this, don't get between the hammer and the work. When God's doing something, don't get in between it. Okay? Last one. With it, you're allowing God to use your obedience as one of the instruments of change in your husband's life. With it, you're allowing, your submission is allowing God to use your obedience as one of the instruments of change in your husband's life. As I look about churches and places that I've been, our body of believers is replete with situations where ladies followed the Lord and their husbands were won to Christ. And I could look back and point fingers at people I know that they were struggling, and God used that situation that the wife took the leadership in the submission area, and God used that to bring that husband and wife together and to bring that husband to Christ. But sadly, I can look in the church and see the very same opposite of that, where a wife got in between God and the work, and the thing fell apart. I've seen lost, dark-hearted, worldly, evil men come to Christ. And I've seen men who didn't even know what was happening have their lives ruined before them because of the power of following the teaching on submission. So the question is, ladies, which one do you want to be? The Proverbs 31 woman, you want to follow like you should follow? Or do you want to be the one that gets in between the hammer and the work? The choice is up to you. It's a family matter, and marital roles matter. Amen? Amen. All right. Ladies, that was your job. Men, don't be late for church next week, because you're up. All right, let's pray. Stand together. We'll pray. I tell you what, Sean, we've had a full day. Why don't you just come up here and pray with us, and we'll give them a "You are loved," and people got to get to graduation. And so we appreciate Sean very much, right? Amen, for all his leadership. So, Sean, lead us out.